Welcome to Blunt Business, another Florida-based edition of the program. My next guest has over a decade of expertise in business strategy, finance, operations, regulations, and controlled narcotic inventories. And he's been recently appointed CEO for one of the most innovative cannabis operations in the industry. I'm here with the president, the newly appointed president of Surterra Wellness, based here. For many of you in the state of Florida, you're very familiar with their buildings and their storefronts all over the state, Zachary Fleming. Thanks for being on with us.
Thank you very much for having me. Really a pleasure to be here.
So let's talk about Surterra, which I just want to focus on Surterra Wellness in particular and not the parent company for this interview. But first of all, let's give some overview of what's going on so far. The success of Surterra Wellness and the rapid expansion in Florida, 50 stores currently open. I know there's more that are popping up all over the place. I see the press releases all the time, five of which is open in the last 3 months. Talk to me, Zach, about the coverage in the state and how your team has spread out locations quite effectively to cover such a large ground of metropolitan areas because of the state and the way it's really built up. There's a lot of ground to cover.
Absolutely. So we're actually at 45 on our way to 50, but you are correct. In the last 90 days, we've launched about five new stores to market. Really, the success of the retail rollout strategy was from one of our strategic real estate folks early on. He's no longer with the org, but we always set out to, we had a mission of covering, 75% of the state in a 20-minute drive, and then kind of strategically selected locations based on that. How could we cover the majority of the state and get folks, Florida's a massive state, so we always wanted a Surterra store popping up every 20 to 25 minutes. And right now we're around 73% of that. It was a very aggressive rollout. Most of our stores were opened in that first kind of 18 months that I came on board with the company in 17. And then we've kind of slowly began to roll out more. So.
And it's been amazing where in the state of Florida specifically on some of the buildings being built, and with Surterra, definitely no exception, of the creativity of taking existing spaces, not just storefronts, but seeing a lot of banks being taken over or a lot of other freestanding facilities and making them work for what you need it to be.
Absolutely. And specifically to banks, those can be very good for the business build plans, but then they can also be extremely challenging. When you're taking over a former bank, it's really difficult to make serious changes when you're dealing with some concrete walls and steel metal plating in the walls. So you kind of are more at the mercy of the current layout, but it gives us the benefit of having drive through. And right now we have seven locations with drive-through services, and patients really like that aspect of the model when we're taking over those banks. But even more than that, we get a lot of property that has been vacant for, a couple years, especially in the earlier days where properties were far tougher to get. When Florida was first going medical, I understand a lot of the apprehensions of some of the property owners and with a lot of the news going on. So it very much was kind of getting our toes in the water with some of these property owners. And to the communities we came in, they were really loving it because we were taking areas that maybe weren't receiving the traffic and the attention it needed. And then we take a old vacant building and make it a beautiful store front cannabis dispensary and start to drive traffic. So it's been a very symbiotic relationship getting into these spaces.
And on top of that, you're talking about trying to be flexible with which locations you can find because you want them to be in the right location, but then every center has to go ahead and be structured around, like I think around downtown West Palm Beach, there's a structure that's from an older building and you just look at the way it's kind of just been put together with the right storefront in front of it, but it's much smaller compared to one I would see maybe in North Palm Beach where I live, where it's a little bit more freestanding and more actually I've seen, especially in Stuart, US 1 area, Port St. Lucie, and just going up that strip and seeing a couple of the stores right up front, big, very prominent, easy to see and very accessible. Talk to me about, it's with, like you said, with that real estate person that was helping out to find the right places to go. What's interesting to me is that a lot of the centers in Florida, they are taking existing structures and not trying to do a new build.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a quicker path to just take over the new structure. And again, there's enough challenges we're navigating just trying to get cannabis business opened in a given location. So we've never taken the approach to build out from scratch, like a ground up build. Mm-hmm. We've done that in other markets, not here in Florida. And for Florida, it's really been a speed to market for us. So converting an existing space is what's working best for us here in Florida.
Yep. Well, Florida itself has announced plans recently to expand its $1.3 billion medical cannabis industry in 2022. 21 million people in the state. Expansion creates lucrative opportunities for new and existing business owners. For anyone awarded new licenses, the potential windfall as Florida is heading towards adult use in the coming years. Serious entrepreneurs who want to capitalize on the market, now is the time to start planning and preparing. Now, that's really been the message being put out there. Talk to me, Zach, about how you feel Surterra has found its footing into the market as one of the first recognizable names for cannabis in Florida and the competition that's coming in. Because the other thing, too, to make mention of, there's been a lot of name changes as well with companies being acquired and then other companies coming in. But Surterra has been pretty uniform throughout this run.
Yeah, and that's really, a testament to just kind of the seriousness and how we approached this market from the onset and a lot of the early strategists who were involved in that. And we really, you know, always looked at this as a long-term run. You know, we were one of the very few companies in Florida in those early days who were building the market, especially when it was just under the low THC. You know, prior to when the bill actually passed, like we were putting up the investments to help build this industry, help get patients access. You know, in those early days, we were delivering vape pens from Tampa to Key West, you know, very small orders, but just wanting to make sure that patients all over the state could access the medicine. You know, and I think being one of those early front runners and really building the relationships with patients and communities has given us longevity in this market.
We're going to go to commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the state of Florida and various issues that are going on with the medical marijuana industry and going into adult use. All the things that are going on with that, especially from the political side, the lawmakers, and what they might do to tinker or change the current policies right now in the state of Florida. We're here with Zachary Fleming, president of Surterra Wellness, the Florida-based subsidiary of Parallel, here on Blunt Business. We're back with more questions after this.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Welcome back. I'm here with Zach Fleming, president of Surterra Wellness. Here in Basin, Florida. Florida has now, Zach, over 700,000 medical marijuana patients as of April this year. And I know that's still continuing to go up. And a great jump from the pandemic mentioned, too, from what about 300,000 to 600,000, almost a doubling during that time. And now lawmakers from various sides of the aisle, and listen, this is an apolitical program. I don't like to go ahead and put anything out there, but I want to just take what various people are saying publicly, because we're into the middle of the midterm election season. And one of those people that have been outspoken right now is U.S. Representative Brian Mast, who is my representative, 18th Congressional District here in Florida. He's been vocal about fighting for veterans' access to cannabis, meaning fighting for freedom. And for people that don't know, he actually has a point where he's using prosthetics because he is a veteran of Afghanistan wars. And he spoke with Benzinga and said this, quote, "Descheduling marijuana from the list of federally scheduled substances is just a number one thing, in my opinion, that we can do to give what this place is all about, freedom and states' rights." And he went on to say, quote, "We know that there are benefits to cannabis out there for people undergoing a host of medical conditions, whether it's PTSD, something that can aid individuals that are contemplating suicide, or somebody that's suffering from cancer, the list goes on. If it can help, then let it." So politics aside, Zach, talk to me about the state of Florida should be doing to grant more access, like to veterans and other individuals that should be able to get a medical marijuana card.
Right. Well, I think all of us should be doing more. Operators, regulators, you know, we should all be doing more to increase patient access. You know, it really still blows my mind that in 2022, patients are still facing a lot of the challenges they're facing to get access to care that they need and benefit from, whether it be able to access housing, employment, veterans benefits, specifically since we're talking about veterans. There's a lot of issues that are still at the forefront and preventing a lot of folks from experiencing the benefits of cannabis. You know, and myself in a long career in mental health and addictions treatment, I've unfortunately worked with a lot of veterans struggling, you know, and it's at a time when we're seeing the suicide rates we're seeing record breaking years in accidental drug overdose. Like, we really got to get to a point where we're doing absolutely everything we can and pulling on every single lever we can to get veterans and just our communities the mental health help they need, cannabis being a very critical tool in that. So, you know, I think we really have to take a look at what are some of those big challenges that are causing people to be hesitant to seek out cannabis, even if their primary cares have referred them. You know, there's still a lot of hesitancy, you know, when you got to talk about, is this going to impact my custody hearing I'm having with my child? Is this going to cause me to get removed from this housing authority that I'm receiving housing assistance through? Am I going to get pulled off of veterans benefits or lose access to other treatments? Like, we really have to start addressing those things and cannot keep allowing, you know, record-breaking overdose deaths, the suicide rates. Like I say, we have to really get all hands on deck, and everybody needs to accept the seriousness of what we're dealing with.
And so the candidates for the run for the race to be governor of the state of Florida, whether it's the incumbent current governor, Ron DeSantis, or Nikki Fried, who's the current Florida agricultural commissioner, they're all getting themselves embedded in the storylines that are dealing with cannabis. Let me talk about this for marijuana moment. The Justice Department is due to respond to a marijuana lawsuit filed by Nikki Fried, who's also a Democratic gubernatorial candidate, concerning the constitutional rights of medical cannabis patients to purchase and possess firearms. And Fried spoke with Marijuana Moment about the case, about how cannabis has played into a race for governor and the federal government's drug testing policy for marijuana. And she pushed back against anti-cannabis comments recently made by Governor DeSantis, previewing how the issue might be argued before voters if she wins her party's nomination to challenge the incoming governor. So this impending lawsuit, I'm not very familiar with, but you know, I see what they're trying to do here. And I wanted to ask, what scenarios do you see playing out politically going forward for MSOs like Certera that they should be cognizant of?
Well, again, for us, like, we're focused on patient access, you know, and the gun issue and all of that. It's just another example of what patients who are trying to access cannabis are faced with in terms of obstacles. So it can become very political issues. But I think, you know, if we just stay focused on the fact that we have unacceptable suicide rates in our veteran community, extreme challenges with mental health in our communities, given, you know, COVID lockdowns, all the exacerbations we've been under the last couple of years. I think if we can just zoom back and say, like, let's, you know, identify those apolitical issues. There's no politics to helping veterans and addressing post-traumatic stress disorder and mental health. So let's look at that. Let's have conversations about that. And now let's talk about how cannabis can be a partner, how us MSOs can help in this. You know, since I've gotten into my role here at Certera, in my current role, we've immediately began focus on that. You know, we're already having very serious talks about what can we do. You know, so one, at Certera, we want to just be a voice in this conversation, and we're going to step out and, like I say, be an example in these communities to show that a cannabis company is more than just a business that's providing critical medicine to the patients in the community. We want to be a part of these communities. We want to, you know, I want to leverage some of my expertise in these areas and really start being at the table with communities and what can we do more. Literally was just on a call 2 hours ago on things we're discussing for the veteran community specifically and trying to help, you know, given the economic downturns we're all under right now, what can we do for veterans to help make, you know, medicine more affordable for them. So these are the things that I think ourselves and all MSOs, all people in this industry, you know, we have to maybe do a better job at showing these communities how we can be a partner in these issues that are facing us all.
I just don't like the fact that, okay, she's supporting cannabis, the agriculture commissioner. Fine. But the thing is that, you know, your support for legalization, and then still denying some patient access because of a view, because, you know, in the political site, in the news cycle, gun control is now an issue that's being talked about, which is what prompted this. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. That's my opinion, by the way. I'll make that point clear. So these things come across and the lawmakers are going to use things to help, you know, play political points for each other. But at what expense to the people out there? That's what this point is right here. When I look at that lawsuit, I'm saying, I mean, sure, I understand where you're coming from, where you're using a stance, but remember there's consequences for every action that you make, that we're trying to go and help people out here. And I don't think that, you know, finding something that will inevitably deny patient access, regardless of you know, prefer that person's political view or not, should not matter. That's where I'm coming from with that. What I want to do is I want to go back to another commercial break. When we come back, Zach, I want to go ahead and talk to you about where we are when it comes to the licensing system, because obviously to get more licenses for MSOs like yours, there's a lot of things going on into who's being able to get that. There's been a lot of contention towards that. I'm going to ask you about that in a moment, but when we come back, I'm here with Zach Fleming, president of Surterra Wellness. And Surterra, by the way, you can find out their website, find their locations all around Florida, and more about what they have available. The website is surterra.com, S-U-R-T-E-R-R-A.com, surterra.com. We'll be back after this message with final questions.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
We're back with final questions with Zach Fleming, president of Surterra Wellness here on Blunt Business. And Zach, I want to finish up with this real quick. New Times wrote back in October of last year. After Floridians voted to broadly legalize medical cannabis in 2016, I'm glad I got to sign a petition. I'm glad I got to vote on it and say yes, which at least 75% of those south of the I-4 corridor support legalizing adult use. That was pretty clear. But that wasn't able to happen with the overall state of getting adult legalization with that more adult, that over majority, the super majority of having that happen among the voters in the state of Florida. But now here's what I want to bring up here. So after Floridians voted to broadly legalize medical cannabis, the licensing rules loosened and there was a 30-year legacy requirement that was removed. Remember, that was a big thing that a lot of property owners were trying to get themselves to MSOs and to cultivators to sell their property so they can go into that whole deal. But the application process still required financial resources that most ground-level entrepreneurs don't have. And we talk about social equity licensing all the time on this program. So a $60,000 application fee and the requirement to post a multi-million-dollar bond is still required for licensing. And Nikki Fried told New Times the licensing system needs to be overhauled immediately. And a former cannabis industry lobbyist, Fried is, she supports legalization as a key element in her campaign. And she advocates for doing away with what's the so-called vertical integration rule, which requires cannabis companies in Florida to handle every major facet of the industry from cultivation to sales. So what would be some of the implications, Zach, you observe, should any lawmaker seek to change this vertical integration model or the licensing process in general?
Yeah, and this has been, you know, a hot topic, I think, throughout the industry here in Florida. And while we believe, look, companies should be allowed to be vertically integrated, especially when they're able to adequately execute each part of the business.
Right.
But we also support changes that lower the barrier to entry, including allowing folks to start a business that covers like maybe just a certain aspect of the supply chain rather than requiring the whole vertical integration. And it's really time for like us and other MSOs to stop hiding behind like this veil of safety and transparency, because it has led to advocacy for more exclusionary kind of protectionist policies, like when it comes to cannabis and who we're allowing in markets. And these policies are preventing the industry from reaching its full potential and to really be a true mechanism for economic opportunity and wealth for everybody who wants to participate. So you know, we are a big supporter of anything that can be done to increase access for patients, access for new business owners. I'm glad we can actually talk about this topic, because one of the things we've been really excited about is we've kicked off a partnership with Black Canna Business to launch a CEO intensive program. It's an executive level series that is intended to accelerate the growth for high potential businesses of color in the cannabis industry. We've done this already in Chicago. We have one planned in October here in Tampa, and we're hoping to have a lot of cannabis entrepreneurs of color from all across Florida and anywhere in the Southeast to participate. But we are, I think some of the veil like that I talked about, where when these vertical kind of concepts came into play, it was really about safety and transparency. And again, I think, what we see is it's actually causing far too many barriers, and it's not allowing us to be the vehicle we could be. As crazy as it is, we would support, anything that would allow more access and participation in the cannabis industry in Florida.
So Sotera Wellness, you're covering the whole state. It's been consistent. You have various locations in all major cities, multiples in Orlando Metro and Jacksonville and Miami. And I see quite a bit in Tampa. But one thing I can tell you, being a native Floridian, being here in my life and just noticing that, I mean, West Palm Beach where I live, just seeing the outpouring of different stores that are popping up, coming down all over the place. I mean, just thinking where there's the consistency of what storefronts and what brands are consistent without going through major changes. I see one other one I will not name, and Sotera. Consistently across the board, I see those stores across and being well-traveled and well-visited. So, Zach, I think you got a great thing going on to play, working with the state of Florida. Is there anything else you could turn in terms of where expansion might be for Florida and where things might go from here? Anything you can kind of tell us at all? I know you also have delivery available as well, and that's obviously getting to expansion. So anything else you could tell us about what's going forward for the growth and expansion of Sotera?
Yeah, and again, we love the state of Florida. We started in Florida, right? Like, I think that's been one of the unique aspects of our story. You know, we had no stores, no operations in cannabis before Sotera was started in Florida. So yeah. We've started here. You know, we're committed to this state and improving access. Absolutely. We have a lot teed up for expansion. We're kind of just now getting those engines back turned on. Again, just calling out the fact that, we were up to 40 doors and then took about a 2-year break from expanding as we were focusing on other areas of the operation. Mm-hmm. And we are now firing up back that engine. We'll start hitting all the footprint areas where we might have some gaps. We're locked into a lot of leases right now to really get those going, expanding our grow and production. So a lot of growth in Florida. There's a lot of demand right now. There's a lot more to come, and we're going to continue to be an operator that's trusted here in the state and one that's constantly doing everything we can to help meet the demand and get patients the medicine they need.
And also, I want to just really quickly give you thanks for the team at Sotera for being a supporter and also being a part of the exhibiting at our USCC Expo series, which also took a break from the pandemic, but really great to go see your team there. Remember, we spoke with Kim Hawkins there on site last time we had one of our shows in Miami, and we look forward to coming back with another show in South Florida in the very near future. And I hope that, we can continue to keep our relationship strong, and let's definitely keep in touch, Zach, and let's keep following the track of Sotera and where things go in the state of Florida. Thank you for being on. Very glad to have you on joining us.
I really appreciate the opportunity, and absolutely, let's definitely stay in touch. I'd love to, you know, get involved in the upcoming event. So please, you know, let's stay in touch. And anytime you need me to come on and speak to anything about the industry, I'd love to.
Oh, trust me, Brandy from our team, I'm sure she will be making a call very in the very near future. So we'll make sure to make that happen. So again, I'm here with Zach Fleming, president of Surterra Wellness. Website again is Surterra, Surterra.com. Look for store locations. You can go ahead and pick up and deliver various products. The stores are very nicely lit, nicely decorated. The color tones work perfect for the state of Florida, just how it is very tropical, very much and everything. So thanks again to Zach. And thank you, listeners, for listening in to another Blunt Business. We'll talk to you next time. The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.